You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We are live. Live.
Canada to the Brewers.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, snap. Taj Bradley. Optioned.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Giants acquire AJ Pollock.
Really? Wow.
Wow. All right. It's starting to crack off. That's a little trade deadline preview for y'all.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season 3, episode 21. How's it going, Corey?
It's going. It's feels like it's been a long week with nothing going on. The A's are on their third off day in the past 7 days.
Which is not that cool.
Or 8 days. More baseball, always preferred.
Yeah, and we had, in the meantime, we've had some ups, we've had some downs. And we've had some kind of exciting stuff happen, honestly. It was, I'll take it. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't a terrible week. So,
No, the Giants series was not the outcome we were looking for, but it was fun. It was the reverse boycott in San Francisco seemed to go about as well as anyone could have hoped.
Absolutely.
The Unite the Bay effort was real. It was united.
And we are appreciative to our Giants. Anyone who might be a Giants fan totally. Who's listening to this, that'd be crazy if there were. But hi, guys.
It would be.
Thank you.
But welcome.
Thank you.
It was great to see, the people working, passing out whatever they're passing out, posters to the entrance. Yeah. Employees of the Giants were willing to help hand out Unite the Bay postcards, posters, and maybe we're even wearing cell shirts. We got some tweets going out that day from like San Francisco Bart, Big League Chew, to name a few.
And I think also the Giants.
Maybe, yeah.
I think the Giants also.
Supporting
all my homies. All my homies want John Fisher to sell the team.
Absolutely. That's going to be our first t-shirt.
So, we ain't dead yet.
We ain't dead yet. And everyone that I run into and ask me about this, they keep asking me and it's just like, nobody knows. It's not over yet.
I went and visited my friends, Mark and Bianca up in Twain Heart this weekend. And they were like, already like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's such a bummer, it sucks. It was like, yeah, but I mean, we're not done yet.
Could turn out to be such a fun story. And
we're not done yet.
Could be a great Disney movie one day.
So Again, didn't appreciate them beating us in both games. Appreciated everything else. Very, very, very hospitable.
That's right. They are our neighbors.
And if we do stay, then, you know, some stuff that happened possibly in the past between the two franchises may just be forgotten, you know?
All I really want is to play them in the World Series again.
And that's true.
Sweep them again.
And if we leave, then it doesn't really mean as much, you know? No. So. No.
Really, not much to speak of from the two games. They lost 2-1 in the first game.
And the 2-1 game was more exciting because it was closer, you know.
And
but
it was the boycott day.
Yes.
And then they lost 8-3 in the second game.
Yeah.
Some kind of subpar appearances by Freddie Tarnock, Hogan Harris, Sammy Long.
Yeah, Sam Long seems like he might be losing it a little bit, but maybe not.
Tony Kemp keeps playing solid ball. He had a 3-hit game. With a stolen base in that second game.
We knew Tony Kemp was going to come out of it at some point, and he is fully out of it.
And J.J. Bleday keeps making his presence felt.
He does indeed. The kid has got some pop, you know?
Yep.
He's got a good eye, and he hits the ball hard when he hits it. And that's a big part of hitting in baseball, both of those things. So I'm happy for him. And I think it's one of those things where his recent stretch – He's sticking, probably. You know, I mean, I don't really foresee him. He could probably go for like 0-10, you know, like kind of a rough stretch, and he's not going to get sent down. You know, I mean, I think he's done enough in the last maybe 3 weeks to deserve a spot in lineup basically every day. Maybe not against lefties, but against righties, he should be playing every day. And then the Rocky series was way better.
Yeah, the series in Denver was freaking awesome.
We took full advantage of Coors Field, I would say, in a lot of different ways. Some of those balls, it just plays differently, you know. And they were hitting the ball well, you know. And it's a good place. If you're hitting the ball well, you're going to get good results. And we did most of the games.
It was a good J.P. Sears day in game one. He went 5 and only allowed 1 run, struck out 5, walked 1, being a solo shot for that one. The A's offense got 14 hits. Two players shy of an Ezga. They had multi-hit performances from Kemp and Rooker, Diaz, Jordan Diaz, Laureano, Langeliers, and Nick Allen. Pretty sweet day. Had home runs by Geloff and Laureano, triple and a double by Langeliers. Kemp had 2 doubles. Allen had a triple. Got to be his first big league triple. Langeliers has 3 triples. That's interesting.
It's interesting because this is the Coors, you know, it's a series in Coors. So you have to take it with a grain of salt a little bit. But man, if Shea Langeliers gets going, it's going to be a lot more watchable baseball than we already have, which is the baseball we have right now is a lot more watchable than the baseball at the beginning of the year. And if a couple of these people, if Nick Allen can keep it going, if Shea Langeliers can keep it going, then we're going to be scoring more runs, you know?
And the pitching staff has actually been pretty decent for the second half so far.
It's been considerably better. Not that that's any sort of compliment based on what happened in the first half, but it's true. And they have actually been, I mean, there have been, you know, I would say it feels like at least maybe 3 out of every 5 performances are at least acceptable or better, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe even more than that.
That's a good way to put it.
You know?
So that was game 1, 8-5 win. Game 2, 11-3 win. Arguably the most fun game of the season. We've maybe said that a handful of times, and yeah, that it's only happened about 5 times max.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Zach Geloff hit a bomb. Brent Rooker had 2 hits, also hit a homer, walked twice.
Brent Rooker's was a mega bomb.
Brent Rooker, the power is not an issue with him. You know, consistency may be an issue with him, but power is not.
Geloff had 2 stolen bases.
Yes. Seth Brown had 3 hits, knocked in 2 runs. You know, Paul Blackburn was good. 6 innings, 2 earned, 7 Ks, no walks. Bullpen was fine, did the job. Felipe with that ERA down to 2.
Yeah, Felipe's starting to be more of an intriguing piece than originally expected.
And yeah, I mean, what's his name? Taylor Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Scott gave up a home run to Randall Grichuk, but other than that, there wasn't that much going on for the Rockies. They shut them down pretty effectively. And you know, the thing about Coors is like both teams got to play there. So, you know, I mean, like they could have scored a bunch of runs too, but they didn't.
Polly B pitched very well. Struck out 7 over 6. Back-to-back wins by ace starters in that series.
Incredible.
This all came off, well, much of it came off of Chris Flexen, who's now pitching for the Rockies and not doing so hot. Which is crazy because he was great for the Mariners against the A's.
6 walks in 3 2/3. That is not, that's some early A's starter type of stuff.
Totally.
So yeah, great win. And a series win, which we will take anytime we can get them.
Yeah, and they only lost the series in game 3, in my opinion, because of Ryan McMahon. The dude made every play virtually that was hit in his direction. He had a couple of RBIs, nice double. He was their best player that day, for sure.
And nobody else really had much. That, you know, that's what was tough.
The A's only got 6 hits. I'm sorry, 5 hits. No runs. Had an error. Luis Medina looked great again.
He did.
Didn't walk anybody. Struck out 6 over 5 1/3. So that was a mega bright spot. I was streaming him in fantasy, and I would have lost by a lot more if not for him.
And yeah, we'll talk about him a little bit. I guess we're talking about him right now. He's been awesome.
He's a debatably fantasy viable.
He's been awesome. He's been so much better than advertised. I would say overall, and especially recently. You know, I mean, this was what you're seeing from him. I mean, I'm looking at the game log from his last 5 starts right in front of me. What you're seeing from him, 4 out of these 5 starts, is what people told us we might get from him one day. Well, it's happening. You know, like he's at least up to this point, and what is it, like 75 2/3 innings? Like, it's, you know, but it's been kind of a slow year. You got to get excited when you can. He looks locked in, you know, like all of the control problems that supposedly like completely plagued him. I mean, he's just not walking that many people. You know, he had a start against the White Sox where he walked 5, but he got through 5 innings and he gave up 1 run. So ideally, yeah, you don't have any games where you walk 5 people, but he's getting himself out of trouble most of the time, which is like, that's a kind of advanced pitching move. You know, like you don't want to get yourself into trouble, obviously, ever, but it's going to happen sometimes. And you got to be crafty enough to get yourself out of trouble. And he seems to be doing that, like learning how to do that on the fly, or he already knew how to do it and we just didn't give him any credit for it. But yeah, he's been great.
He's been awesome. He totally kind of sucked prior to the start of the second half. For instance, in June, he walked 21, struck out 25. In July, he has walked 5 and struck out 27. He took his strikeout to walk ratio a month over month from 1.1 to 5.4. He's really crushing it this month. And really not much of a difference, righties and lefties on him. Kind of makes me think that he just need a little confidence boost, see that he could really do it here at the big league level, and then maybe at that point he could just let go and just attack the zone, you know, not worry so much about nibbling.
Yeah, and I think that might be like most of what it is. You know, I mean, like you hear pitchers say that occasionally. I mean, pitchers with like really good stuff. But it is like at a certain point you like just throw your fastball. Just like move it around. But like, you know, until they hit your fastball, keep throwing it. And he's, you know, I mean, he's throwing other stuff too, but he's electric.
Slider too.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, 23, about to turn 24 in a week. Almost happy birthday, Luis Medina. Yeah, it's good to see him. Good to see him pitch well. What else we got here?
Moments of our week.
Oh, that's my moment of the week.
That is Dan's
Luis moment. Medina. Luis Medina, specifically the last start. He didn't get the win, but he was amazing. Didn't walk anyone, struck out 6. I'm hoping, you know, like the longevity will come with time, as it tends to with people, you know? I mean, it would be really the only thing I could ask of him more at this point is like maybe more 6-inning, 7-inning starts. But he's a rookie. He's a young guy. I feel like they're also pulling him earlier than they would pull someone who'd been pitching for 3 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's been more than I ever would have hoped for. especially after he really did not hit the ground running. You know,
looked like it could be rough there for a second. And they've only really recently let him go as a full-on starting pitcher. They did a lot of that opener
stuff. Yeah, they did. Strangely enough, to the point earlier where I was talking about 4 out of his 5 games looking good, the only game he didn't look good was the game he didn't start.
Yeah.
So,
I'll mess with you.
You know, every time he started in his, every time he's started the game in his last 5 starts, he's been great.
My moment is Zach Gelof homering twice in Denver. The dude is legit.
Love Zach Gelof.
The dude is legit. There was a tweet that went out just 2 days ago on the 29th. Since Zach Gelof made his debut on July 14th, only 3 players in MLB have at least 3 home runs, 5 steals, and a 540 slugging. They are Zach Gelof, Corbin Carroll, and Ronald Acuna Jr. So he's basically the best player in baseball right now. He's amazing. He definitely has some splits going on. He's performing much better against righties than lefties.
Right. And which is, those like reverse splits always confuse me a little bit. You know, yeah, like
this is mega small sample size.
Yeah. But remember Mark Canha would do that sometimes too?
Yeah.
Like he would be absolutely hopeless against lefties and like absolute like Babe Ruth against righties. It's like, dude, this flies in the face of convention, but like it's happening.
It feels like it's good because other teams don't expect it a little bit. You know, messes with the usual routine.
But yeah, he's kind of another rookie. Like I think our farm system in general was a little bit undervalued because some of these guys are better than we were told they were going
to
be.
Yeah, they hype some people up and then don't pay much attention to others.
To be fair, I think we've had a feeling that Zach Gelof was going to be pretty good for at least maybe a year and a half, if not more. But, you know, like I was skeptical about some of these guys and they've looked like I think maybe even on this podcast, like not super excited about JP Sears and like Wrongo, like he's been great.
Gone back and forth on him.
And man, Hogan Harris has been fine. You know, I mean, I guess these guys are also getting a much longer leash than they would be getting with like any other team. You know, So like maybe they're getting a little bit more of a chance to figure it out, which is kind of what you want to use this here for. Yeah, Zach Gelof has been awesome.
Loving the steals, especially, and just the baseball IQ. He's made a couple. He looks good in the field. He's made a couple base running plays that, like, if he didn't do what he did, if he didn't hustle so hard, he never would have scored.
Yeah,
he's good.
Yeah, and I mean that's interesting. It's the further like analytics go, the more you can like analyze these like different ways that people impact the game. But I think it all supports kind of the eye test. You know, like he looks like a good ball player. He's in the right spot. He's pretty good on defense. He's hits the ball hard. He is good at bats. So,
yeah. Soderstrom doesn't quite look the same yet. But if you look at just his last 7 days right now, he's heating up. He's up to a .400 batting average, .455 on base over the last 7 days. It's only 3 games and 10 plate appearance or 10 at bats we're talking about, but he's got 4 hits. He's on a little streak there with the hit streak. So things are looking up. It started out pretty bad and he's starting to heat things up a little bit.
But also he does this. Yeah, I think he's done this every season in the minors, you know. He's had like 3 weeks where we've been like, is this guy good?
He's got to adjust.
And then he hits like 20 homers in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, wow. You know, like he's not that many, but you know. I think he'll be fine.
Speaking of ace studs on the rise, checking in on Lawrence Butler in AAA. Over 15 games, .771 OPS. So not setting the world on fire, but he's holding his own. He's got 3 home runs, 6 steals. So he's doing stuff.
I think
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know if you call everyone up.
No, we may not see him in the playoffs this year. But
how old is he?
We could. 23.
Okay. Maybe September?
Maybe.
But I don't know if you start burning everyone's service time this year. You know, I mean, we got a good handful of dudes that we're taking a look at right now, you know? And I don't disagree with it, but I'm a little bit surprised that they are letting Soderstrom ride as much as they're ride.
I've been surprised as well.
And I agree with it.
He doesn't look great. He does not look great.
But yeah, I think there is going to for sure be a point when they're going to have to be like, okay, yeah, you go back down to AAA. But yeah, like you said, he's 5 for his last 13. So that's fine. So keep doing that, man. And he's catching also. We got to, you know, we definitely have talked about that, but I feel like it's important that we keep talking about that anytime there's a conversation about him. Like, he's catching.
And they say nice things. The pitchers keep saying nice things. Checking in on Nick Allen a little bit. Something about, I don't know what it is, but he just looks better out there to me, hitting wise. He's been hitting the ball hard, and it doesn't really seem like he's getting rewarded for it. In fact, just yesterday in the Rockies game, he struck out with the bases loaded on a pitch that was obviously a ball.
Yeah.
That was pretty frustrating. He got robbed there. But he's making great plays. A couple of plays up the middle from the Rockies series come to mind. He kind of saved game one where the Rockies were coming back.
Yeah.
And he had a couple, I think he had a 2-hit day that day.
Yeah, and he tripled in the first game.
Yeah.
You know?
So he's showing
That's the game you're talking about. Yeah, so yeah, he tripled.
Imagine if he could just hit 220 and be the platinum glover that they've always said he would.
And that's, again, as I said with Soderstrom, I think in this season, you may just let him rock it short for a little bit.
Yep.
If he sucks for the rest of the year, then we may have to start having the conversation that he might suck at hitting. You know? But yeah, I mean, you know, all we need him to be on offense is like Alcides Escobar.
Pretty much.
Which is kind of, you know,
wreak a little havoc out there.
He doesn't see his approach isn't like hopeless. He just, I don't think he has any pop. And you need to kind of give him a minute to figure out how to hit line drives to the right spot. You know, like he can be valuable, like you said, at 220.
Yeah.
Like, I think even analytics wise valuable. Like, I think he can start racking up some WAR if he gets himself to like 230. You know, maybe like 30 doubles.
Yeah, he's had a 31 OPS plus this year, which is a negative 0.2 WAR. He has a career 0.8 WAR. He did some decent work last year, especially defensively. Looking at his StatCast outs above average, he's doing okay. He's on par with. He's right between Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa, right above Brandon Crawford, Matt McClain, in terms of shortstops, outs above average. That is well behind Wander Franco, Dansby Swanson, Bobby Witt Jr., Javier Baez atop the leaderboard. But he's got 3. They've got like 13 up there at the top. He's not doing bad, that's for sure. He hasn't really been playing that much, so I'm sure he could be doing better, as we have said, if he was playing every day.
Just play him. And even give it like a time period. Like
the rest of this year.
If you don't want to be that patient, like give him a solid chunk. Be like, yo, you are going to play every day for the next 20 games. You know, like don't even worry about it. Like you're playing. You're playing shortstop. You're hitting 8 every game for the next 20 games. And just see what happens.
You know? We should be running the team. In fact, Dan and I have some mock trades.
We do.
So I will go first here. I'm thinking the Yankees aren't having a great year. But right. You know they're not going to kick the can down the road. So pretty sure they're going to try and make a trade to improve their team. They definitely need outfield help. They've got Billy McKinney. Got somebody, I forget the name. Somebody else not great out there running around.
Jake Bowers, or is he playing first?
I don't know. Their team is kind of depleted. They also could use some pitching. Luis Severino's pretty much garbage all of a sudden.
Got shelled. His last time out was, I think it was like 7 runs in the first inning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking they could take Paul Blackburn and Ramon Laureano And we could come back with, you know, some decently ranked prospects. So they've got this guy named Richard Fitz. He's a double-A right-handed pitcher, ranked sixth in the minors last year in walk rate, like that. He can throw 91 to 97. That's a wide range. Not sure why they went with such a wide range, but I like the 97 part of that. 23 years old. He's their number eight prospect. So what's not to like? Apparently, when he is walking people, he's very hittable, but that's nothing new. It's kind of how the game works. But yeah, if he's also the sixth best in the minors with walk rate, doesn't seem like an issue. Thinking maybe they can also throw in this guy named Lewis Gill. He's their number 24 prospect. Another right-hand pitcher who throws 100 and doesn't have the best control. He's 25 years old. Did make some appearances briefly in 21, 22 with the Yankees. Didn't pitch very much, though. And now he's out with TJ at the moment. So could be a nice little addition. Come back, throw 100, see what happens.
I definitely recognize the name.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, he's done some stuff in the MLB.
I got one, too, while we're talking about it. And it's also Ramon Laureano.
Poor Ramon.
To the Angels for Jorge Ruiz. And I was going to say Kelvin Cacheres. I'm probably not saying that right. They're number 26 and 27 in the Angels top 30. I was saying based on, you know, like, you're not sure how people are valuing Ramon at this point.
Yeah.
But they need outfield help, and he's great on defense. And he, when he's clicking on offense, he's a very, very valuable player. So if I'm the A's, I'm asking for both of them, probably. Maybe ready to not take both of them, but asking for both of them. Ruiz is a 19-year-old center fielder currently playing left because he's blocked by another guy in the Angels organization playing center at single A. Pretty good, steals bags pretty well. Rates out as a pretty solid defender. Does not strike out. I think his strikeout percentage was like 4% or something. So, contact guy, not a lot of power. That's but
cool.
He's 19 at single A. Seems like a pretty good option. And then Kelvin Cacheres is 23 at double A. Can hit 99, sits like upper 90s, like 95, 98. Good to sometimes awesome strikeout rates. Kind of walks a lot of people. But so did Luis Medina, apparently.
These are the types of people I would like to try.
So, you know, if we're selling it, yeah, exactly. I think, and he is projected to be there 2024. If we ended up trading for him, I wouldn't be that surprised if we saw him this year. So yeah, I think that'd be cool. And I want to get two people for Ramon because I love Ramon, you know,
he's worth it. So those would be fun. And I'm looking forward to what trades we may or may not make and how cool would it be if we could get any of these pieces back.
You know? Yeah,
that'd be fun. So Dan, here is a random A's look back for you. His time with the A's was brief, but oh so sweet. Came on the Moneyball era A's in 02 and 03. He was a pitcher. Went on to play. Well, he played for Montreal and the Yankees prior to the A's. He then went on to play for the Blue Jays and the Cubs and the Dodgers. He was very good. Overall,
I definitely have a guess.
Yep.
Ted Lilly?
It's Ted Lilly.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. This was in John Boy's B-ref guess.
You know what I'm mostly surprised at, like looking at all of this, that he struck out as many people as he did. Because really I good. Kind of felt like I felt like he was one of those dudes that was solid, but like crafty, didn't strike a lot of people out. And I mean, he's not like blowing people away, right. But that's way more strikeouts than I thought he was going to have. But you know, 130 wins is a good number.
Played on some good teams, had a ERA typically around 4 or less, and that'll get you a lot of wins.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it'll work. You know, a lot of it'll work, especially the era that he was playing in, you know? Like on the surface, like a 1.1 whip in 2002 doesn't blow you away, but it was 2002. Like, that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
There were a lot of people in 2002 that were probably doing stuff that they were not supposed to do. And it was making them a little bit better at hitting than they would have been otherwise. So,
Balco.
It's funny. What is that? Man, 3.14 ERA, second to last year. Man, he was still dealing, kind of, huh? Very solid. Very solid player. Yeah, love that he was an A.
Yeah, he pitched from 1999 to 2013. Impressive stuff.
And was that three different decades?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So my coolest thing in MLB this week was Shohei, of course. He threw a complete game shutout in game one of a doubleheader and then went on to hit two home runs in the second game of the doubleheader. Just, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I saw that Dallas Braden tweeted, like, it has to be worth two WAR. You know, it has to be worth two WAR. And someone responded to him and was like, that's not how it works because it's Twitter, you know.
But he just won them two games.
But I think, I will say, I don't think it's exact. I don't think it's two WAR, but I would be very interested
to see. I'm sure it was damn near one or more.
I would be very interested to see if it really is like 0.7.
Yeah.
You know, like it's definitely, man, this may be kind of a, I'm just really throwing it out there. That's probably the most valuable baseball day that there's ever been.
Yeah, probably.
You know, like, I don't know. Did Babe Ruth ever shut anyone out and hit two home runs in the same day? Like, I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Babe Ruth, I am going to go ahead and say this pretty unequivocally, and I don't really care what anyone thinks. Shohei Ohtani's a better pitcher than Babe Ruth was.
That's for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Like, I think the hitting thing is, I did see a crazy thing. I'm not 100% sure about what Shohei Ohtani's slugging percentage this year is still below Babe Ruth's slugging percentage for his career.
Yeah, it's wild that it's even.
So it's like, and it's like, it's easy. I think it's easy to be like, yeah, he's better at pitching and he's better at hitting than him. It's like, whoa. I'm not. I don't think we can very easily say that he's a better hitter than Babe Ruth was.
He's reaching quite yet. Some of the loftier heights Babe Ruth ever did.
He's such a better pitcher that overall he's a much better player.
Definitely.
But I think Babe Ruth
damn near close to the level of hitter.
But these are the crazy things about when you look at Babe Ruth's like BREF page, you're like, damn. Like I sleep on this guy sometimes. You know, like he was really good. And I feel like one of the criticisms is like he was playing against bozos, you know? But it's like, well, then he should have also been a bozo. You know, like, why was he so good? If everybody sucked, then why was he amazing? And it is, man, some of, like, the slugging in the mid-8s is intense.
Bonkers.
And, yeah, so his slugging percentage for his career is, what, 690? No. 690?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Shohei's is, like, 686 for the season. So it's, like, that's pretty wild. Like, you know. Babe Ruth was still crushing it harder than Shohei is crushing it right now. Because I think the thing with Shohei is, and it's like, it's not, I don't even think, I wouldn't even call it a hole that you're poking in his game, but like the batting average. Like, he's not going to be a 330 career hitter. He's going to be like a probably 270 career hitter, you know? And that's, you know, it brings all the, brings it all down, you know?
It does bring it all down. It's nuts. What if Shohei sets the new AL home run record? That'd be so crazy. He's up to 39.
With seven? Dude, he's leading in triples and homers. And walks.
And walks. And OBP. And slugging. Damn. 187 OPS plus. That's no joke. Babe Ruth's career OPS plus 206.
But I mean, it is a little bit silly to look at the pitching numbers because it's like, why do we even talk about Babe Ruth pitching? Really? Now that we have Shohei.
Yeah.
Like, let's not talk about it anymore.
Well, just real quickly.
I mean, he was good.
He did lead the league in ERA plus 1 year.
I mean, but I'm saying, but this is a much more of a kind of flash in the pan type of thing. Like, absolutely. He, you know, like he was, and also, you know, they're throwing 1,000 in it. You know, I mean, it was just like, and also, he was clearly just one of the most dominant athletes of the time. Like, he could probably do everything. He probably could have played in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know,
like Aaron Judge could do this.
The NBA, with the NBA, the NBA part wasn't around, huh?
No. Basketballs had never been invented yet.
And, it's, man, baseball's funny because like the Angels still don't win that much. You know, like the Yankees had Babe Ruth and they were beating the snot out of everyone. And, you know, they're just not. When was it?
Oh, wait, 1891 maybe?
When was the when was the NBA established though? Yeah, 1949. Yeah. So, Babe Ruth couldn't have played in the NBA because it wasn't around.
That's right.
But I'm sure he was an exception. He would have been an exceptional basketball player had it existed. But yeah, man, it's he's a real doozy. Mine, speaking of real doozies, Ellie De La Cruz going 4 for 5 with a homer. He is something else, and he just keeps doing it. You know, I think he's going through normal young player struggles where he'll have 3 games where he goes like 0 for 12 with 8 strikeouts. But you know, I mean, then he bounces back and hits the snot out of the ball for like a week straight.
It's just like 3 balls in one game.
So Ellie De La Cruz.
Stud. Definitely not a flash in the pan.
No, definitely not. Probably could pitch.
Despite what some crazy people might say.
Tim.
All right, our fantasy face-off. This was a pretty good one. I went with Josh Jung for 45.2 and Blake Snell, who's maybe the best pitcher on the planet right now, 65.5, 110.7. Dan, you had Lindor for 86.5 and Alcantara. Only one start for Sandy.
Shutout, though. A complete game, right? I don't think it was a shutout, but I think it was a complete game.
45.2, and you had a 131.7 total. It smashed me.
Quite a matchup. I think definitely the highest scoring that we both have done in the same week. Great matchup. You know?
And man, I am just sleeping on Josh Jung. That guy is having a good year.
I don't think I knew that Francisco Lindor had that good of a stretch of time, but good for him.
Yeah.
It's a good pick.
I'm going to go with Pete Alonso and Justin Verlander next. Couple Mets.
Man, Verlander is a lot of reasons that I don't like the guy, but he is a really good pitcher.
He's pitching.
You know, like I hate to admit it, but he is. And I'm going to go with Hunter Renfroe and Charlie Morton.
Damn, Charlie Morton. He just keeps going too.
It's true. He's there. You know, they probably could have gone to high school together.
They took the same steroids back in the day.
What do we got coming up?
What do we have coming up? We have the end of the month.
We're on to August. And we're also starting to keep track of the fantasy matchups.
Starting now.
So it's 1-0 me.
Dan's winning. We got the Dodgers going to L.A. Starting tomorrow, Tuesday, 3-game set, 7 o'clock games. And then the Giants again this weekend for 2, and then the Rangers for 3, followed by the Nationals and Cardinals. It'll be an interesting stretch. The A's are playing better, but there's almost no hope of beating the Dodgers in a series. It'd be nice to win a couple against the Giants, and I'll leave it at that. Let's hope that we can go 3-2 somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, man, we got the Rangers after the Giants, and the Rangers are...
Rangers are great.
And the Rangers now have
Max Scherzer at our freaking face.
So
that's going
to
be fun.
But, yeah, we don't need to talk about that right now. It's next time. So, yeah, I mean, pretty good week. Some cool stuff. And I think that's kind of all that we have for right now.
And until next time.
Go A's.
Go A's.
Bye-bye.